Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, the news coming yesterday, the Cleveland Cavaliers losing guard Ty Jerome in the free agent market to the Memphis Grizzlies on a reported three-year contract worth $28 million with Memphis. And this was Greg Swartz on Bleacher Report from Bleacher Report on overtime last night with Jake Volnick. Kind of amazed that the Cavaliers would let a guy like Jerome walk for this amount of money.
Sam Merrill averaged 6 points per game on 33% shooting against the Pacers. And you chose to give that money to Sam Merrill, and you don't give Ty Jerome $9 million, and you give it to Sam Merrill instead. That blows my mind. I cannot believe the Cavs let Ty Jerome walk for $9 million.
I think one factor we're kind of missing here is that the Cavs are trying to avoid going further into the second apron, which almost certainly would have happened if we'd have given Jerome the money we were expecting him, even in this kind of deal.
But he's not talking about, he doesn't care about the money. He cares about the roster. And that's what I think what the people are worried about. But I'm telling you what, you and I were talking about that this morning to start the show, and there were a lot of people who were agreeing with us on the phone. And it wasn't, I got to find out whether or not the Cavs were serious about bringing him back, or he decided to take 2 years, because it's a three-year contract, but it has that third year as an option. He takes 2 years and then has more minutes with the Grizzlies, and maybe he can cash in 2 years with another team. And one of the minutes and the time and the investment, and the Cavs weren't willing to do that, or he just decided he did not want to be a part of it for the other side of it with Memphis. I got to figure that out. But I'm getting some major pushback because I'm like, man, I can't find a fan at all who wants Merrill over Ty Jerome, and I'm getting some major pushback over that on the internet right now.
I understand if it was Merrill and Ty Jerome, and all of a sudden Ty Jerome at $9 million a year turns into $20 million a year based on the tax, because that's how prohibitive, how penal the tax is. With that said, why, if it was one or the other, like, how are you choosing Merrill over Ty when Merrill, his game is 100% reliant on other guys? Jerome's wasn't. Jerome would be able to get his shot off. I know it didn't happen against Indiana, but he's able to create his own shot. He is somebody that, yeah, he struggles defensively. Mm-hmm. Merrill tries defensively, but in the end, he's still giving up baskets. Like, it's not like Merrill's some shutdown, you know, wing defender. He's not. So this, the thought of either of these players is going to be totally based on their offense. And Merrill didn't shoot it well. I agree with, was it Greg? Who is it? Who's the clip you played?
Greg Swartz.
Yeah, I agree with Greg 100%. Like, if we're just doing this based on the Indiana series, well, then the Cavs don't have a roster left, because you would have gotten rid of everybody who didn't play well in that series, which is just about everybody outside of Donovan Mitchell.
And you know who you should have a no roster left for if you're going to go after anybody? LeBron. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of NBA free agency, he's not a free agent, but you get the case here. Just kind of a lacking day yesterday, and this was pre-everything going down. This was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, Shams Charania previewing what he expected to be a big night in the NBA.
There's going to be some big deals tonight. There's going to be some big deals tonight, Pat.
You're eager like for this
big,
evening.
Big ones?
Yeah, how big are we talking about? You talking most craziest big?
Yeah.
You know?
Better be.
No, not yet.
I like how he was able to track it back there, because I'm not blaming Shams for this, but this market just didn't seem like it was garnering a lot of the big names, a lot of big contracts. The biggest one was maybe Jaren Jackson Jr. getting $240 mil in a 5-year extension with Memphis. Has the second apron kind of killed the hype for this sort of free agent flurry, or did we just get so used to the stupid contracts that we got from like 2017 and 18?
We had a great run of off seasons. Now, we still had, you know, you got to remember the Kevin Durant, you know, situation was part of that. Giannis did not get traded. There was not a Darius Garland trade or anything like that. These would have been big names that would have made this seem like a sexier off season. You're certainly not seeing that right now. Now, could this mean that the trade deadline is up a tick? You know, that could certainly be the case. Well, I am curious. To me, it seems like they went from 0 to 100 in this new CBA. Somebody's going to have to explain to me at some point how, okay, we all were trying to protect against these superstars all teaming up like LeBron did when he started basically that whole wave. Some will say the Celtics started it, but I mean, in reality, it was LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh colluding together, getting together to forge a new team. The league realized that you couldn't have that. You couldn't have only three or four teams that everybody cared about with the superstars all concentrated in those markets. So their fix was this. Problem is, it was an overreach. They went way too far. Now, no teams have wiggle room. You get penalized for building a great team organically, for drafting well, for making huge, bold trades that were awesome. You get penalized. Look at how all these teams, you have the championship Nuggets from a few years ago, having to do deals and get rid of contracts over the years.
The Celtics had to just slash their roster.
Why are you penalized for that?
I don't fully agree with that. I think that it's made the trades more important than free agency, and I think that next year's free agency period is probably going to have a lot more buzz than what this year's is. I think that this is a feeling out period. Plus, Oklahoma City, I mean, they built their team with some trades, and they have done it organically, and they have all 15 spots basically spoken for
this year,
going into this
but
year.
That's only,
going into this
that's
year.
Only because of the timeline, but they will. They're going to have to... They're going to have to eliminate contracts
but
big time when Chet Holmgren gets a supermax one by one.
They're not paying a penalty for that right now, and I think that that's part of what makes the other pieces that much more important. I mean, before, I think that a lot of people would have been like, Sam Merrill, Ty Jerome, what the hell are you guys talking about? Who cares? Now we're getting strong opinions over either one of these guys, and I think that that's part of that fun. Give me another year, but I don't think, this is where I will agree with you, like the days of... The guys taking pictures of the chair against the door, holding DeAndre Jordan, quote unquote, hostage, and the reports of Mark Cuban driving around Dallas crying. Those days are probably done, yes.
Well, I was going to say, final story here, a trade yesterday in the NFL that could have ramifications for maybe one more season in Pittsburgh, because the Steelers made a trade yesterday with the Miami Dolphins, acquiring Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith to try and bolster the defense, while they trade Nick Chubb's number one fan, Minka Fitzpatrick, back to Miami, as well as a pick swap for 2027. I mean, we kind of went on this in the pre-show, but this might be an all-in move for a Pittsburgh team that, like the Browns, is trying to really figure out its future.
There's no might about it. This is an all-in move. I think this is probably going to be Mike Tomlin's last season. I think he can move on to different pastures after this. I think he has much more power over that organization than what a lot of people want to say or a lot of people are willing to admit. When you go out and you make these type of moves, you jettison Minka Fitzpatrick. You got to get TJ Watt figured out. I know that they say they have no plans on trading him, and they shouldn't have any plans to trade him when you've made all these other moves.
They're getting calls, right?
Yes, they are, but I don't think that they're going to move on from TJ Watt. You would like to think that cooler heads prevail for them.
Sell high. Now, get rid of them.
I got to pay attention to them and what they're doing. I know that people kind of moan and groan when we start talking Steelers, and I got to tell you, we have our own issues, so maybe we shouldn't be peeking into their backyard and what they're doing. But this is a team that's interesting, that's going all in for the 2025 season, and they have to because they have a 41-year-old quarterback. There is no tomorrow.
Well, I was going to say here, Florio yesterday, who we just had on the show recently, called this team desperate to win a playoff game, which is just an unbelievable.
Well, they're desperate to win a Super Bowl. Just a playoff game is not good enough after these moves.
An unbelievable circumstance for a team that just a few years ago looked to... They won like their first 11 games. What was it, 2018? Yep. And now they're at this point. That's it for about last night. I can't believe any of this.
You bring in, well, I can believe a lot of it. You bring in Aaron Rodgers at 41 years old. You've brought in DK Metcalf. You've moved on from George Pickens. You said that he was a problem. He's going to Dallas. You bring in the other wide receivers that you've acquired. Jalen Ramsey comes here from the Miami Dolphins. You send Minka Fitzpatrick away. These are strong moves, and these moves are meant to win a Super Bowl this year for them. Or to get at least get to a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. Yeah, just not just a 500 record, not just making the playoffs, not just winning one playoff game is going to be enough for this Pittsburgh Steelers team after this moment. It is all in, and it probably, I mean, they still have a first-round draft pick, so that's a pretty good start for next year, but a lot of this might go bust.
I mean, do you think they're
after
good?
This season? Yeah, they got a lot of talent on the football team. You know, I thought that this is the problem. I thought the Jets had a lot of talent last year, and they still do. They said Breece Hall's still a really good running back, for crying out loud. But if you look at where they're at offensively, Jonnu Smith, good. Pat Freiermuth, really good. Calvin Austin, pretty decent. Robert Woods, pretty decent. DK Metcalf, good. Okay.
But could they get Jaylen to a Super Warren, Bowl if Aaron Rodgers is healthy?
Najee Harris. They still have Najee Harris, correct, Owen? They still have Najee Harris, right? I gotta look that up. That defense is still obviously rock solid. Yeah.
They didn't keep both the running backs, did they? Jaylen Warren and Najee.
They have.
He is with the Chargers.
Okay, I didn't think they kept him. Caleb Johnson. They went and drafted him. Was a really good player that I like coming out. So they don't have Najee Harris anymore, but they have Jaylen Warren. I mean, they still got a really good football team. Yeah, that's a team that is going to have. They plan on having a look at it. You don't just make these moves to go 500. So with Aaron Rodgers, it's either feast or famine. I'm betting on famine.